U.S. Middle East envoy Dennis Ross is expected to return to the Middle East on Monday to help conclude negotiations on an Israeli troop pullout from the West Bank town of Hebron. Representatives of both Israel and the Palestinian Authority are reported as saying they expect an agreement to be signed before the end of the year. News analyst Daniel Shore says recent posturing by both sides raises questions about how they really view a Hebron deal.
Yesterday, even as Dennis Ross was trundling into place the last delicate pieces of a Hebron agreement, the partners, as he called them, were still gearing up to seize the blame-laying advantage if the talks collapsed. Netanyahu supporters emailed to news media in America a 10-point indictment of the Palestinians as the violators of the Oslo Accords by such actions as firing on Israeli troops, incitement to violence, and trying to open a Palestinian Authority office in Jerusalem. Mortimer Zuckerman, pro-Israel owner of U.S. News & World Report, released in advance his editorial for next week's issue. He asserts that the world's media observe a double standard, holding Israel alone accountable for violation of the Oslo Accords only because Netanyahu is trying to avoid a terrorist attack that would jeopardize the peace process. At Palestinian Authority offices here in Washington, however, spokesmen argued that security in Hebron was only an Israeli pretext for scuttling the Oslo peace process. And Hanan Ashrawi, one of the Palestinians' most eloquent voices, is planning a speaking trip here early in January. For now, perhaps, the debate over who killed the Oslo Pact can be put on hold. Barring further hitches, the agreement for partial Israeli evacuation from Hebron will be formalized next week, making Hebron the last of the seven largest cities of the West Bank to come under Palestinian control. But while the peace process has apparently been saved at the brink, it is unclear whether this marks its resumption or its effective end. It would leave the Palestinian Authority in possession of the cities, but not of roads and land between them, not of the power supply, and not of many of the attributes of independence. If the process were to end there, there would also be heavy costs to Israel. In the 6 months of the intransigent Netanyahu government, relations with Europe, the United States, and moderate Arab governments have suffered. Investment and tourism have been hurt. Both sides will have difficulty now living with the unfinished edifice of peace. For the reasons they started this process in the first place, the leaders on both sides may conclude that Hebron must be a new beginning and not an end. But it will be hard to control the extremists on both sides. How much freedom of maneuver Arafat and Netanyahu still have? That's the next big question. This is Daniel Shore.